for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them.
Yes, everybody, what's going on? My name is Stephen Alson. This is Jay from Full Time Devils, and this is Joe from Stretford Paddock. And we thought we'd just do a podcast talking about whatever we feel like. And as always, this whatever we feel like is brought to you by the good folks at The Athletic. And you can check out the link in the description if you would like a little bit more of The Athletic. Or you can go to theathletic.co.uk/Howson. That's theathletic.co.uk/Howson. And you can get 50% off. It is the new home of football writing. And it's class going on there at the minute, aren't they? Right. I was going to try and talk about signings and some of the madder signings that have happened. And there's an article that's on there. I think it was last night that got put on there about Dong Fang Zhao. That was a mad signing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. There was a few like that, wasn't there? There was like that period of...
Oh, sorry. Before, I'm saying this because obviously, for those who need context to everything, in a week, it's the transfer window opens and we're going to talk about who we think we should sign. Ooh. But before that, let's talk a load of wibble about old signings.
Yeah, there was a few madders, weren't there? Like Dong Fang Zhao, Minucho.
Oh,
I forgot about him.
Bebe. I mean, I'm going to just throw in about 47 allegedlys about why that happened and then move swiftly on.
But he's actually had a career since then.
He's had a career,
been,
you're right.
But I mean, he's not been like...
not in football.
He's not... Well, he was been playing in La Liga for years, wasn't he?
He's in Portugal now.
He's in Portugal, yeah.
It's not too bad. No, he's, it was a strange signing at the time, don't get me wrong.
No, we're just going to say allegedly.
I don't even know what you're referring to here, but...
Good.
Do you?
I mean, really? You
tell
really
us.
Don't?
Tell me no.
Fuck no.
Tell me afterwards.
It is it's, let's just say it was some,
doesn't reflect well on a hero of ours.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's leave it at that.
Perhaps one of the strangest signings of all time is the reason that we're sitting on 20 league titles.
Mm. Are you talking about Alexander Butner?
No, I'm not.
No, okay.
Eric Cantona. I actually, the more you think of this, the more it makes no sense how this happened, right? So, Howard Wilkinson walked into work one morning and was like, I need me a left back. Mm. Do you know who I think's a good left back? Dennis Irwin. And that was a good assumption.
Just before you go there,
okay.
Just mention one thing before this.
Yeah.
Leading up to this,
yeah.
Trevor Francis, right? No, leading up to this, two things that happened, right? Sorry, I'm going to bore you with this, but I'm going to do it, right? Gerard Houllier says to Graeme Souness, after a game, we've got a player in France who's mint. He's a striker. He's got a bit of a bad reputation, but he'll do a great job at Liverpool. Graeme Souness says, I'm trying to get this team in order. I've got youngsters coming through. I've got the old guard who are kicking off. I don't need more trouble in my dressing room. Thanks. But no thanks.
Great Graeme Souness, obviously a great, what's the word I'm looking for? Judge of a Frenchman. Player's ability.
Especially Frenchman.
Yeah. Is Ali Dio, was he French?
I don't know.
Think it was.
I'm thinking of his Pogba.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So not only does he take phone calls off people pretending to be George Weah and give those players a game, he doesn't listen to people that know what they're talking about when it comes to French footballers. So Graeme Souness passes. Trevor Francis.
What?
Yes.
Trevor Francis. Got excited for a second then.
Trevor Francis gets Eric Cantona at Sheffield Wednesday, gives him a trial. A five-a-side game.
Indoor, futsal.
Yeah, this is old school, like not a proper trial like we do now. This is like, go and kick the ball against the wall for a bit and see if you're any good. Right, watches him.
How mad is that?
I know. Watches him, right? You can find it on YouTube. You can find his trial for Chef Wednesday.
Yeah, wearing a Chef Wednesday kit, indoor.
And then at the end
like
of it,
a sports hall.
At the end of it, after watching what...
not even kidding.
No, it's mad, right? After watching what would have been the greatest player to ever play for Sheffield Wednesday, play for him,
by a mile.
Yeah, goes, not too sure, let's give him another trial. At which point Eric Cantona goes,
fuck you.
I'm a lot better than any of these. You're an idiot. I'm not doing another trial. I'm going.
That was where his attitude came from.
Yeah. Howard Wilkinson gets him, and then Steve picks up the story.
Right, so obviously he wins a title with Leeds. They sing a song about him. He doesn't speak any fucking English. They actually created, I think, a pop song that hit the charts with him. I don't know why I love you, but I do.
Yeah.
After somebody said on the tour bus, like after they won a title.
There were songwriters back in those days, didn't they? Like coming up with just quotes that someone said on a bus. Yeah. Like, you know what?
And remix it. Well, now it's a YouTube video.
Who wrote that song?
Now it's a YouTube video, but
Eric,
back then they actually released it in the charts.
Say that again, Eric, because that's a hit. Yeah. That's a hit.
So Howard Wilkinson, one random day in November 1992, walks into work and goes, to retain the title that Leeds won last year, yeah. I probably need a right or left back, or maybe one who can play both.
Yeah.
I know what I'll do. I'll ring United. Mm. So he rings United. Martin Edwards picks up the phone, and him and Fergie are in the office. So the fact that they're in the office together makes me think it was probably a scheduled phone call, and they got together to, like, I'll ring you at 10, yeah, yeah. I'll make sure Fergie's there sound. And if you want to check out the podcast I do with Martin Edwards, he actually explains this, and even off camera I was like, how the fuck did that go down? He was like, mad, innit? So Howard Wilkinson's like, hello, Martin Edwards of Manchester United. I'd like to buy Dennis Irwin. And he's like, wants to buy Irwin. And Fergie's like, fuck that. It's like, tell him he's not for sale. Yeah, Dennis Irwin's not for sale. What was that? Ask him about Cantona. What are you doing with Cantona? He says we can have him. We'll give you 800 grand. He says he wants more than that. And he's like, tell him a million. He said, what about a million? And he said, all right, we'll do it then. This is mad, because I think about this now. He says, we'll do it for a million if you're telling everyone it was 1.2. How mad is that?
Because that's going to save face. Yeah. I mean, you're right, it's mad that you can even get away with that, yeah, for starters.
Break up, but at least tell people I was good in bed. Like, what is that? That's mad, isn't it?
So, if you're not aware of the story, Cantona comes to United after Dion Dublin broke his leg, which was, like, you keep saying, the best thing Dion Dublin ever did in a United show.
I sound harsh on Dion Dublin. I like Dion Dublin. He's a lovely guy, and I remember he scored his first goal against Southampton away, which
hits Brian McClair on his shoulder.
Couldn't have placed it any better. Well, great,
why do I
great
know
knowledge,
that
great knowledge.
Commentary. Yeah.
So,
Andy Gray,
I was born,
Andy,
yes,
Gray,
Andy Gray when he was good. So I liked Dion Dublin, and at the time he did a good job for the
it was about a yard out when he shot, by the way.
But him getting injured enabled us to buy one of the greatest players I've ever seen play for Manchester United, or anyone else for that matter. So in a way, for United, the best thing that happened with Dion Dublin was him getting injured. So I'm sorry, Theon, I'm not having a dig at you. It's just, obviously, it led to Eric signing for us.
Anyway. So, and then Cantona signs. United go and win the title for the first time in 26 years. Then we win it again the following season. Then Cantona gets banned after kicking a young fella called Matthew Simmons wearing this shirt. Not this exact shirt. Imagine how much
that was.
Imagine how much
that knocking about.
A funny thing about that Matthew Simmons thing is, he got a kicking off Cantona, and then from what I've been told, people at the ground, a lot of United fans were mingled in with the Palace fans because United just took over the ground. So he got a kicking as he went, tried to get out of the ground as well. Oh, off United fans trying to join in.
I don't condone it, but I absolutely love it.
People copy their heroes, don't they? If I see Cantona kicked,
and that's
off,
why he got banned.
I'm going to kick some off.
Simple. Cantona got banned for the 94-95 season, which allowed Blackburn to win the title. I mean, it was by like 2 points, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, well, if we beat West Ham, we would have won the title and we drew.
Yeah, so, and I remember it was just one of them days.
They lifted
that
title at
Anfield.
Anfield, so nice for the Scousers.
It's nice that someone's lifted there. Lifted there at
Anfield. But it had only been like 5 years at the time since they'd won one, so it's been a lot longer. And then we obviously won it again in 96. Cantona came back, we win a double. And then 97, was it 96 or 97? We had like 5 or 6, 7 games that we won 1-0 with an 85th minute Cantona winner. That was a big game player. And then, is it 30 or 31? I think it might have been 31. He just goes, I can't be arsed anymore.
I've had enough of this.
What an absolute enigma.
It's just perfect. It sums him up. It was never going to be someone who played 38, 39, go to America, go play in Azerbaijan. He was, go out at the top, I've had enough of this, we're done.
I'm going to go do painting and acting.
I know it wasn't different circumstances.
I'm so glad that I wasn't at the time, I was gutted. I'm so glad he did it like that.
Yeah,
I would have hated to see Eric Cantona shadowing himself. Yeah, like huffing and puffing against dross.
Yeah,
or getting a game in a league cup. No,
yeah,
like, it's not about that.
Just kicking one in for all.
Yeah,
I know,
and then, you know, and not having to put, obviously this before social media, but having to sort of defend him to people saying, yeah, "Oh, you know, he's
you missed him at his peak, lads." Yeah. No, he just went for, I've just won two titles back to back. I'm out.
And that's obviously would have had his legacy anyway, no matter what. But he is regarded by not just United fans, but he is just one of the coolest footballers ever because he never seemed to have any weakness. He was, his character on the pitch, off the pitch, everything about him, like you said, was just, he was never going to go out like that. He was always just perfect, gone, see you later. Like,
and weirdly,
just keeps that aura about him, doesn't it?
Weirdly, he transcended all of the cliques at United, which I bet nobody anticipated. Yeah. the drinking culture of like Mark Hughes and Bruce and Brian Robson, those guys that would go and sit in a pub for 12 hours. Cantona was part of that, which you don't imagine Cantona. No, he'd have a pint, which I find fascinating. He probably had a red wine occasionally, but like he transcended that. And then there's obviously the very famous stories of, you know, he would finish training and grab Beckham. Which, can you imagine the treat for David Beckham at the time? Cantona's like, just come and put 100 balls in for us. Yeah, no problem.
This is the thing people often forget with Eric, because he had that sort of way about him, that aura about him, just how dedicated he was. The guy stayed behind at training. He's probably the one player, or the last player that needed to, because he was naturally just amazingly gifted.
Arsenal fans have the same, well, Arsenal and Arsenal fans have the same thing, that Bergkamp did that to that generation of Arsenal players. That he was like, he's the most technically good player at the club. Yeah. If he's doing extra training, like I think Merson and Dixon and people like that go, you see Bergkamp going out and you go, oh, it's no accident that he's very technically good. Yeah. He fucking works on it. Like, they used to train at the Cliff, obviously, before Carrington. Cantona only ever trained at the Cliff. It was Carrington was after he'd retired. But the indoor bit, where there's a big brick wall that runs adjacent to the pitch outside Cliff, Cantona apparently just used to fucking hit the ball against that wall and bring it down and turn on his own, because no one would come out with him. That's fucking nuts, isn't it?
Do you know what I love about him as well? Like, you know, we've just sat and talked about a player climbing into the crowd and battering someone who gave him grief. You know,
he's got it all.
Just mad. It's just like, no one does that. Who does that?
And even now, like,
it's like,
I wonder how crucified you'd get for that now.
But you've heard the story.
I reckon you might go to prison.
Chucky told it as well.
Yeah, and Lee Sharp's lying.
No, he's not right.
He's misremembering.
He's misremembering some of the players that were there. Yeah. But he is writing what happened.
What's the go on then?
But that Fergie goes round after the game,
ruins them
because they draw at Crystal Palace.
Yeah,
it's a bad performance. Should be beating Crystal Palace. Eric does that halfway through the game, climbs in the crowd and batters someone. So everyone, all the players are thinking, great. Now that Eric's done that, we're not going to get pelters off Fergie because he's going to go mad at Eric.
Wrong.
So Fergie comes at full time, goes round to each and every one of them. You're terrible. You're out of order. You're rubbish. You're naff. You passed it. You couldn't trap
him. You play for England?
Yeah.
You fucking shit.
Shit, right. He's going round to everyone, laying into him, gets to Cantona, who's just been sent off and climbed into the crown and twatted someone and just says, can't be doing things like that, son. And then just moves on. And it's like...
because it, obviously he knows you've got to do
man management masterclass.
That's the one
masterclass
thing that you want to do, isn't it? You can't be too mad at him for doing the thing that everyone wants to do.
Well, it's like, just like, I think, like you say, Fergie knew Eric, and he knew, like, let's not forget, this guy went through managers.
Yeah.
Like, Tiger Woods goes through clubs or whatever. What was it?
Birds.
Yeah,
that's it. Not clubs, birds.
Birds, that's
and
it.
Trees.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't settle anywhere. No manager could get the best out of him for more than a few, you know, including French national managers.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a nightmare for everyone. Yet Fergie.
Management masterclass.
Yeah,
masterclass.
Only, you know, got the best out of him, but it got it consistently. And there was never any issue with him and Fergie. Yeah, he snaps at a fan. But there was never, you know, you never heard of Eric and Fergie not getting on. And he knew how to handle him. And he knew that you gave him a little bit more leeway than you gave the other players, because he gave you more than some of them other players.
Do you remember the story from, I think it's Enson Pallister, where they turned up for a coach? So they used to wear, it's now a suit, but it used to be like a blazer and slacks, didn't it, that they had to wear? So it was grey pants. I think you can probably picture Fergie in it. A navy blue blazer, the club tie. Ince has turned up with his shirt untucked. And Fergie's, them two turned up late.
Was this in the time when Fergie was already getting a bit pissed off?
This is 94, I think. So
It would have been 99.
Ince has turned up with his shirt untucked, but he's got his tie on, he's got his blazer on, he's wearing shoes, and he's late. So he's fucking tore into him, fined him 2 weeks' wages, and he's gone, fucking hell, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? And he's like, can make it four if you want, or something along. Oh, he's finding
that
1 week, and then saying, I can make
grounded,
it two. It was something to that effect.
Yeah.
Palace has just had the same treatment, because his tie was a bit undone. It wasn't done all the way up to the top, it was a bit loose.
Like Grange Hill style.
5 minutes later... Cantona turns up wearing trainers, with a shirt untucked, with no tie and no blazer, and he goes, Eric, we're going, get on. And Paul Ince loses his shit when he talks about it.
Do you know what I mean?
You were sitting there like, what the fuck?
What's going on here? This isn't fair.
This is the thing, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, like Fergie, as you said, was man management masterclass.
Well, Giggs has said it, hasn't he? Yeah. He goes, he bollocked him once in about 1992. Mm. And Giggs went, I'll fucking show you, second half. Went out and had a worldie. He goes, worst thing I ever could have done. He goes, because any time I was having a shit game, he fucking hammered strips off me.
Yeah.
Because he fought second half. He goes, where some players, he goes, if he hammered them, they'd have an even worse game and he never hammered them again. Fergie must have just been like a memory masterclass. Because he says he remembers every name and everything, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah, yeah. He does. You know, I've heard a few players saying like that. And he's and a few players like... Brian McLeod always says, like, he said, you never know when he'd pull you up on something you did 10 years ago. He said he was sat with him once having dinner in the canteen when he was Brian Chucky was a coach and Fergie was a manager. And this was like 2009 or whatever. And he just said, he goes, fucking you. In the 91 League Cup final. Fucking let him go, didn't you? Cost us a game, that.
This is 2009.
Yeah. I'm just trying to eat these beans and chips.
Yeah. And he was like,
it's 20 years ago, mate.
He said that's what he was like. Like, he just now and again he'd pop up with something that he just fucking bizarrely come into his mind. But he had like an encyclopedic knowledge of every game, every sort of thing that had gone on. And he now and again he'd bring it up.
If you had half an hour with Fergie, where do you start?
I don't know. It's about half an hour is just. Not even enough to scratch the surface.
Not
I'd
at all.
I'd still just be asking how he was. I'd be and like, can I get you a drink? Like, I'd be doing that. I'd be groveling for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't even.
I'd just be gibbering.
Yeah. You need a 2-week holiday with him, really.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to Italy with him?
2-week holiday, eating, drinking, drinking, and drinking.
I wouldn't.
I'd be up in the morning.
I remember the first time I went to a press conference, Fergie was the manager, and my old radio station, Q103, sent me to press conference. And I remember what the sports reporter said. I was covering for a sports reporter and my heart was going. And he's like, going to go to a press conference, you know? And I was like, And like, Fergie obviously had this reputation of just laying into journalists that asked not even stupid questions, just a question that he didn't like. And I remember the guy saying to me, you don't have to ask any questions. And I've never been so relieved in my life. I thought, if I ask a question that Fergie lays into me for,
I'll
never recover from it. Yeah,
honestly, I'd
burst into tears.
I think I'd be excited.
Yeah.
Really? With Fergie, I think I'd be really excited and want to speak to him.
I'd have crumbled. I'd have started crying.
Whereas you know what I mean? Roy Keane, I think I'd crumble.
I mean,
because Roy Keane, I think, would get a. I think Fergie wouldn't want to show you up.
Right.
I think Roy Keane would.
But the thing with Keane is, he's a player, and Ferguson's like my dad. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you shouted at me, you'd be like, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean it. I'd throw up. Honestly, I'd be physically sick if you got told off by Fergie.
I was interviewing Bob Wilson. He used to play for Arsenal. He was doing a charity thing, and as I was interviewing him, Fergie came up and said hello, and I was just like. I just was like, honestly, sweating. I was pouring my sweat and everything. I was like,
have you ever met him?
But
I didn't know what to do myself. And I was just like, he just sort of said hello to Bob Wilson. Obviously, they knew each other and like they had a little joke. And then he walked off. And like, I didn't say anything.
Just gone, frozen.
I never spoke to him, but I've met him 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's been
like
close enough. Yeah. But never a conversation.
In his last season, Van Persie won Player of the Year or Player of the Month, and he got sent champagne, and he gave it all to all the journalists, and everyone was like raising a glass, and I was just like, technically, I'm having a drink with Fergie.
For me
grandkids, I'm like, I had a drink with Alex Ferguson once.
Technically,
well, I did Cantona. Me and Adam did Cantona, and that was one of the like we were sat in the Lowry for fucking ages waiting for him. But you don't mind if it's Cantona, that's late. Months, you're all right, aren't you? Yeah. And I was like. I need a piss. I'm going to jump out for a piss. And as I go out for a piss, Cantona's in the finger. And I was like, our kid? And I'm like, then I'm in the toilet going, why'd you call him our kid? What the fuck?
Oh, mate.
Analyzing. Stupid idiot.
Eric, I'm really sorry this closed you
up. Before, can we forget about all that?
I was just like, start again.
No, and then we get a drink and he gets a drink and he goes like, to give us a fucking cheers. And you're just like... I'm in my own head going, oh my God.
You were actually doing it out loud.
Yeah, probably was.
Oh my God.
Chris probably just cut in from the video like, what are you doing?
The grins on your and McCall's faces is just from ear to ear, mate. It's sick. And he's just like, this is the thing, you know, it almost gets lost sometimes because we're doing this and we're doing quite a lot of it. But, you know, you are fans. These are the heroes. And it's like, to just sit in the same room with them to me, honestly, is mad. And then sometimes, like, I forget how lucky we are because we've sat with the players we've watched. We've had conversations, we've had chats, we've heard the backstories, we've done all that sort of thing, you know what I mean? And it's like, you can sort of just think, oh, yeah, this is a job, or, you know, or we do it all the time, or we've done it a lot, but it's like, it's a fucking amazing. Like, I still get, like, proper in awe of these people.
Well, look at Singapore.
Yeah,
going like getting in the fucking lift and Wan Mata going.
That's what I mean.
it's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? I do. Like, I get like
when you take
wow,
a step back
so
and
lucky.
Think about it, it's like this isn't. I would never have thought I could do it. Like, obviously, you two have done so much more of that sort of stuff than me. But even the preseason tour, like you said, you sat there, and like you sat watching training. You're like, this doesn't. You don't get to do this. This isn't.
Well, no, in
experience.
Not
this
since the cliff
stops.
We used to do it at the cliff.
Yeah, I used to bunk off school and go.
You used to go and sit on the side of the pitch at the cliff.
I'm gonna call it toe rope because it was like blue towing rope, like, and it was like three stakes and a bit of blue toe rope, and then there was only 15 people.
It was mad.
You just get to stand there.
One of my mates, I'm sure he won't mind me grassing him up. I can't remember who he was. Nicked Mark Hughes's jogging bottoms off. Honestly, we were sat on the side of the pitch, right, and we were training, and we're just edging nearer towards him, and just see how far we can get away with this. And so we got to near a pile of clothes that were obviously there training stuff, and my mate just went. What are you doing?
Someone and he absolutely battered for that.
Yeah,
one of the apprentices.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was like, he's just training, like jogging bottoms, whatever. But it was mad because I remember the first time going to the cliff, waiting in the car park, and my hero, I mean, it's not going to be very popular, but I'll say it anyway, was Paul Ince at the time. Yeah. I fucking worships him. And he came out, and I'll never forget, he had a load of stuff with him, and he signed autographs, and he had his keys in his mouth, and he just sort of handed me the stuff. And I was like, and he just went, yeah, just hold that. And I was like, I'm holding Paul Ince's stuff. And then like he signed some stuff, and you know, we took some photos on an old Kodak, on them disposable cameras, whatever. And it was just mint, because you got so close to them.
I remember having the same thing with Beckham. In about 97, something like that, at the cliff.
That's what I mean. It was just so open, wasn't it?
Roy Keane tried to run everyone over.
I'm not surprised.
Roy Keane told us.
But even in Australia, we got invited to training. It was, I can't even describe, because we weren't allowed to film anything. They was very serious on like, you are not fucking filming anything. We're like, okay. But it was the club training, and there was Robbo, Dennis Irwin, a couple of MUTV presenters milling about, and they was chatting to like Mike Phelan and Ollie, and then it was us.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Yeah,
there were a couple of media people from United, and that was hitting the entire fucking thing, and you just think, what a fucking treat this is.
So like. That's what I mean. It is,
but
and it's like
the players are coming out, and you're going, all right,
and stuff.
And they're going, all right, and you're like,
I remember once because I was at my old job and. I got a phone call on a Saturday night, back when people used to ring landlines in the office, and it was like, "Hi, this is such and such body. It's Cillian Petrov's doing his cancer charity thing. Ryan Giggs is gonna support him. He's available for an interview in Living St Anne's tomorrow at 8 a.m." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll be sending a reporter." I got drove straight to Living. Camped out in the car.
Like, was that when you interviewed him on a park bench?
Yeah. And it was like, and the funny thing is, I was that excited. I didn't even tell anyone, like, I didn't tell the bosses or anything at work. I just did it in the morning in case he went, no, we're not interested in that.
Whatever.
Don't bother. There's been a shooting in Salford, we need you to go with that. I'm like, fuck it, I'm just doing this. So I was like, my next time I contacted anyone, the newsreader, I was like, I've just sent you through a Rangig's interview. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like,
don't worry about it.
I'm just interviewing him. And it was like, it was amazing. It was just like that whole thing of just, you know, chatting to one of your idols and just hearing, like, I mean, obviously it was like, we didn't go deep. Like, you sat down with some of these guys and gone like into their history and moments and all that. It was
on camera's not the best though.
Yeah, it was just about his obviously why he was doing it, and then United were talking about United and the current United team. I think Kagawa was talking about Kagawa and Van Persie. But it was just amazing, you know, just sit and just spend some time.
What's your best off camera chance meeting with a United player?
My favourite is when Roy Keane, as a 14, I was 14, not him obviously. It told me and my mates to fuck off. And I loved it. I would not have it any other way. We literally, right, and I told Lee Sharp about this when I did a Q&A with him once, and he's laughing his head off. Bumps into Lee Sharp and Roy Keane. Me and mates are in Altrincham, four of us, I think. See Roy Keane and Lee Sharp just walking through Altrincham. Run over to them, like, proper giddy. Oh, my God, Roy Keane, Lee Sharp. Blah, blah, blah. Lee Sharp was sound. I had a ticket stole from the West Ham game the night before when you used to get paper tickets, and he signed it for me. He scored. And Roy Keane literally just went, fuck off with you, to me and my mates. Right? I started laughing. My mate had the black kit with Keane on the back. My mate's like from an Irish family. And he turned around and went, look. And Roy Keane just went, fuck off.
It's not an act.
None of this.
It's not an act. That's him. He's a fucking maniac.
I couldn't stop laughing. I loved it. I was in stitches. My mate was gutted. He was like, oh, you love Keane. I just wasn't interested. I mean, to be fair, Keane at the time, he would have been, 21, 22. Yeah. But I don't think he's mellowed much since then, no. But it was just hilarious, honestly. I was fucking with it, you know what I mean? It was like a load of kids in United kids have just ran over to you and you just literally told them to fuck off.
Can you imagine a player did that now?
Oh, it'd have been over Twitter. My mum would probably have me next to, well, it was my mum wouldn't, but my mum would have a kid.
Compo face.
My child's not been able to sleep.
Can we put some just tears on your face there?
You know, like proper looking something.
Holding the kingship, thumbs down like that.
You know what I mean? It'd be tabloid heaven, wouldn't it? But yeah, at the time, I just loved it. And it was great. And it was back in those days, like going back to the Cliff and other things where you had a little bit more access to players. Mm. So, I mean, I met Keane at the Cliff and he was fine. He took photos with us and so much, you know, but it was just at that time, it just sticks in my memory. It's just being fucking ace. Really. Wouldn't want to change it for anything. It was amazing.
You had any?
Well, because I didn't grow up in Manchester, you see, so I was the other side of the Pennine, so less chance encounters. Probably Singapore, going up to the hotel room. Well, there was two, weren't there? There was David De Gea. Was it De Gea, Mata, and Lingard was in one of them?
De Gea.
Oh, I'm confusing the two.
It was Mata and De Gea. One. No, we didn't get in the one with Young. We saw Young and McTominay in one, and I chose.
Yeah, I bet you
chose
the atmosphere of a night.
Chose not to get in that
together.
One.
Oh my God! Hey, were you like that, edging away from him? Like, nothing to do with it.
Nah, but there was one point. There was me, you, Will, and Ashley Young in a room, and he wouldn't make eye contact.
Yeah. I tell you what was pretty good. Getting in the lift, it was me, you, Adam, Will, Dennis Irwin, Brian Robson, and
allegedly. I'm going to say allegedly.
Allegedly,
I was Brian fucking Robson smashed.
We were all smashed, including Brian Robson, allegedly. And Stephen tried to kidnap him to come back to our hotel room. He was like, "Do you want to come and have a chat?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I might." He was like, "Come on, we've got whiskey in the room." He's like, "I don't drink whiskey." He's like, "We've got rum then." He's like dragging him out the lift. We've got Premier League winners' medals if you want one.
I literally fucking dragged him out of the lift.
And then he was like, Dennis was like his chaperone. Like, no, he's coming back with me. Like, okay,
he is genuine. Sorry. I've had the, again, you know, it sort of pinches off moments. I've had the good fortune to interview Brian Robson a few times, and he's genuinely the nicest guy in the world, which is amazing as well, because on the pitch
he's a fucking animal
was hard as nails, and forget all these sort of fake pretend, you know, I'll send you a nasty tweet sort of faux hard men you get nowadays. This was a guy who was fucking absolutely solid, and do you know what I mean, and he is genuinely one of the nicest guys you can meet. And when I used to do interviews as a reporter with him, there would be certain topics that the club or whatever your players, you just had to sort of avoid. And with him, he didn't nothing was off limits. You could chat to him about anything, he'd just give you a decent answer. He was just dead open. And obviously, the club didn't mind if he did that because he's Brian Robson. Yeah. And it was just great to just be in the same room as someone like that. Just chat to
him. It was the first interview I did.
Was it?
It was 2012, 2013, something like that. The first proper player interview I did. Wow. And about 40 minutes, and he did six Budweiser.
What I mean. It's funny as well because I turned up.
And because an audio, I put it out as a podcast, you can actually hear the waitress coming. He's like, "Do you want another?" He's like,
It's funny as well because the first time I interviewed him, I made a mistake of telling my dad that I was going to interview Brian Robson, and I turned up with like a crate load of memories.
Morning, let me just put that
this book, this shirt, this shorts, this calendar, this shoot annual from 1983.
Signing page, please.
Got several ticket stubs here. And he was dead happy, you know. He signed his autobiography and I think a shirt or whatever. But yeah, just a lovely guy, and someone that my sort of thing with Robbo is, when I was a kid, he was like the star player. He was a standout player. But I don't have as many good memories of him because I was like sort of 11 and 12 by the time he was in his decline. And by the time I was like properly watching football and understanding it, he was sort of only a fringe player. But those early memories, he was just, and from what my dad and other...
There's a certain generation of Reds, probably those that are about 10 years older than me, that Brian Robson is the greatest footballer that ever lived.
Yeah. I mean, you'll hear it now, especially... It's sort of relevant now with the Pogba argument, because what the sort of Pogba FC, for want of a better word, will argue is, oh, you can understand why he wants to leave, the players aren't at his level, you know, he deserves better. That's the argument you often hear with people.
Let me show you Brian Robson.
Yeah, Brian Robson used to play alongside...
Probably the best player in the world.
Ralph Milne and Graham Hogg and Colin Gibson, who, no disrespect, those players weren't exactly tearing up trees.
And rather than sulking, he carried the club on his back.
He carried it for a decade. And okay, we did have some good players. We had Norman, we had Paul McGrath, we had Frank Stapleton. It wasn't like there was just dross all it, but there was a time when our team was probably the weakest it's ever been, other than Brian Robson. You know, you had forwards like Terry Gibson, I think, and Peter Davenport. It was, you know, it's weak. You couldn't rely on Norman anymore. He'll admit that. His injuries caught with him. Paul McGrath was having his issues. You know, there were so many sort of players that were coming and going who just weren't anywhere near Manchester United standard.
And that's the mentality you're supposed to have, though, isn't it? That's the mentality we want you to have.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to be Brian Robson. Not anyone could be Brian Robson, let's be honest, but try.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it made me laugh because last time I interviewed Brian Robson, he said that when he was offered the chance to leave, I think AC Milan came in for him.
Not Norman?
No, no. Well, it might be both, but I know that Milan came in for Robbo, and Maradona had just gone, I think, for 5 million or whatever it was. I might have the figures wrong. It might be 3 million, say. So Edward said, I want the same as what Maradona's gone for, because Brian Robson was considered as good as Maradona. And let's not forget, he marked him out of the game in the 84. Not only did he mark him out of the game in the 84
scored two
as well. It was actually Maradona who was almost marking Brian Robson, or trying. But yeah, and I think they came back with like 2.5 million. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So Robbo just said, well, I want to know I'm going to stay here for the rest of my career. So give me a 7-year contract.
Oh, imagine someone saying
your
best player,
like,
as well.
Yes,
your best
please.
Player. And he was like,
here it is. So, and he stayed, like, you know, he signed that deal from sort of whenever this was, 84 or whatever, took him up to 92 or whatever, because he was happy to stay United. Mm. And his head wasn't turned. He was like, you know, even though a lot of players would have gone, I'll go to Milan, I'll earn more money, I'll play alongside better players, I'll have a better chance of winning European Cups and things like that.
Oh, God, he probably would have been part of the team with... if they'd have signed him in 85, he would have been part of Van Basten, Van Dijk, and Hullet, AC Milan.
I think, I'm pretty sure it's
Milan. Thank fuck they didn't.
It's either Milan or Juventus, but I'm hearing towards... it was two actually that were in for him, and it was like the ceiling was like...
I asked him who he was most like in the modern game, and he said Steven Gerrard, and I was like, fuck.
Well, this is the thing.
Fuck, you're right. But he's right.
Yeah.
But again, the similarities in terms of a player being a little bit better than those around him in many ways, because Gerrard, for all his faults, and we can list them all day long, he was in a Liverpool team that, other than a brief period perhaps under Benitez, wasn't that great.
No.
Had a lot of average players in it. And he was the one that sort of elevated a lot of the time, and the peak of that being in 2005, where he more or less dragged a bang average team to Champions League winners. So I can get that, because I think, as an all-rounder, I think if you look at Steven Gerrard, is he the best passer of the ball in the league? No, Scholes is better. Is he the best tackler? No, Nicky Butt is better. But all-round, is he the best finisher? Probably not. Frank Lampard's better. But all-round play.
He was pretty good.
Yeah. He's okay.
He was all right.
Yeah,
he was
I'm not going to say anything more than that. He was okay. He was,
it's about as much of a compliment you get.
Yeah, that's it.
Robbo's attitude to England embarrasses me as well, because as United fans, we're United over England, generally, largely, mostly. And when you talk to him about England, I remember actually kind of being embarrassed a little bit by the conversation I had with him about England, and I was like, was the 1990 England team the best one? Because obviously he did his shoulder in, I think, or knee or something.
In 86, he did his shoulder against Morocco.
What was 1990? Because he didn't leave the group stage. He had to go home after a week, I think.
I think he did his ankle. I might be wrong.
But he said the 78 one was the best. But when you talk to him, there's two players that I kind of go, maybe I'm wrong in my stance on England, and it's Ian Wright and Robbo. And the way both of them talk about representing your country and stuff, and the way they feel about it and stuff, you kind of go,
do you know who got that though? Do you know who got it? Rooney got that. I always felt with Rooney that he gave his all for his country, and I think he got the whole England thing, and he was proud to be playing for England, and proud when he got the captaincy and brought the record.
And Beckham handled it very well.
David Beckham, who retired from international football in 1998, would anyone blame him? Making dartboards, effigies, insulting his wife and children.
Fuck the son.
Do you know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. Well said. Would anyone have really gone, well, you're out of order, and he said, I'm not playing for this absolute shower of shit.
And you got Wembley at the time as well, with six United players in the team saying, stand up if you hate Man U.
Yeah. And it's just like, how thick can you be? No, but he didn't. He became golden balls.
To be fair, the same with Rooney. The amount of stick he's got throughout his whole career from United fans, but from England fans, like, oh, you've only got one goal at the World Cup or whatever it was. Like, he's England's top scorer ever. He's in a terrible team. Yeah. A team that, from sort of 2008 onwards, all the best players were either getting old and all the new players just weren't good enough.
Did Rooney get an MBE for when he came England's all-time leading goal scorer? No. Harry Kane got one for what? For a fucking shinned fucking back heel in a World Cup?
Five penalties against Panama and Tunisia on it.
Something like that.
Yeah. Is it me, or is there a fucking hardcore Southern bias in the media when it comes to England?
There is. There's also been some just idiocy England manager level. Like, I can't believe how shit some England managers have been. And the prime example of that, and I quite like Steve McClaren because I think he did well at United, and I think he don't get enough credit for what happened in 99. He helped us get that treble. Mm. But in 2008, in the Champions League final, in every position by goalkeeper is an Englishman. Right? Left back, Ashley Cole. Right back, Wes Brown. Centre back, Rio and John Terry. Midfield, Owen Hargreaves, Michael Carrick, Frank Lampard.
Scholes,
Joel Cole, up front Wayne Rooney, right? Where did England get in the 2008 Euros?
Didn't even qualify.
Exactly. Why? Because Steve McClaren just fucking lost the plot. It's just, we've had, and that, you know, Capello, with when he went to the World Cup.
Strange appointments,
you know.
Well.
Like, I'm not going to take, I'm going to get, the one player I'm going to get out of retirement isn't Paul Scholes, who's probably one of the greatest midfielders ever to put his football, ever to put football boots on. It's Jamie Carragher, who's not even that asked about playing for England, yeah. And who probably isn't even in my first team. Yeah, and even by his own admission, he's past it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to coax him out of retirement because he's integral to my campaign, and I'm going to leave Paul Scholes sat in Oldham watching telly.
And even if coming,
but Scholes
was
happy.
Yeah, I know he was. Scholes wouldn't ask, but yeah. That phone call could have got Scholes going to the World Cup, and he would have made a difference because he still had. It's, you know, in 2010 was it? He still had a lot left in the tank, and he could have been an integral part of England. Maybe getting to the last stage
of
the World
Carrick,
Cup.
Never played enough.
Yeah.
And looking like, we talk about managerial appointments, we appointed Allardyce 2.5 years ago as England manager. I know, obviously, he sort of shot himself in the foot and we ended up doing well because we got Southgate in, which was a bit lucky in itself because he's not necessarily been the best manager. But up until not long ago at all, we think Allardyce is the best person in the world to manage England. It's meant to be the best job in the world. That's what it was always talking
it's
about.
It's the highest paid manager job in the world.
And is it? Right.
So it's not like it's got any better.
It's like 5 million
it's
a year.
It's not got any better.
Insane like that.
Which is what I mean. And I think.
Like, what?
We got lucky with Southgate that it happens to have worked with this generation.
You look at it and it's like, I don't want to bore you by going all the way back, but you know, Venables, everyone reveres.
Yeah.
That tournament, you know, we drew with Switzerland, we drew with Spain, we should have got beat off Spain. They had a goal disallowed, that was a goal. Beat him on penalties. We had that amazing result against Holland, but other than and then we got beat off Germany. So it wasn't that amazing.
But that's every World Cup. That was last year's World Cup.
Yeah. You know, last year's World Cup. Yeah, we beat Panama, score. We beat Tunisia. We
lost to the first decent
team
we played.
We batter a couple of teams for the first time in ages.
Yeah. We're not playing fucking.
Yeah, but we normally draw against.
I think one thing I give Southgate credit for, and I think this sort of in a way ties in a little bit with what you say, Steve, about managers. Sometimes managers just don't have to be the best tacticians or even coaches. Just get a group together.
Yes.
Make the environment around them comfortable. Stick with that group.
Man
stick
manager.
With it.
Man
just,
manager.
Yeah. You don't have to be Sir Alex Ferguson. You don't have to be someone who's like, you know, a Jose Mourinho tactician. No. You can just say, right, these group of players are quite good. This is a system that...
Make them want to play for you.
Yeah. And I'm going to protect them from this shit. I'm going to support them. Yeah. I'm going to get them working together as a team unit instead of all these individuals that play for different clubs. And just let them get on with it. Okay.
What the fuck do we title this podcast?
I've no idea.
Well, if we title it according to topics, it would be the Sir Alex Ferguson, Ashley Young in a lift, Brian Robson come back to my room, Roy Keane told me to fuck off, Steve McClaren is a Wally with a Brolly podcast.
NBA.
Bit wordy.
NBA.
NBA at the end.
Bit too short. Do you need some more?
Bit wordy. I think we're going to wrap it up there because we've done about fucking 2 hours of videos sitting here.
No, we haven't, Steve. I've only been here for 10 minutes.
If you want to check out those, go and check them out on Stretford Paddock. We've done a decade in review, which has probably got some debate in there. So go and check those out while we go and have a try and figure decisions out what the hell we title this. but as always, it is sponsored by the good folks at The Athletic. They're with us until the end of the season. So go and check those out. The link is in the description. Or if you go to theathletic.co.uk/Housen, that's theathletic.co.uk/Housen, the new home of football writing. And they have got a right good team. So check them out. Laters.